Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
This episode is brought to you by Reese's Peanut Butter Cups. In breaking news, leading scientists worldwide are conducting experiments to determine if Reese's Peanut Butter Cups are the perfect combination of peanut butter and chocolate. However, it appears the study was inconclusive, as the scientists couldn't help but eat all the Reese's. Because when you want something sweet, you can't do better than Reese's. Find Reese's now at a store near you.
This episode is brought to you by Snapple. Want to know another Snapple fact? The first hot air balloon passengers were a sheep, a duck, and a rooster. Ridiculous. Check out Snapple.com to find ridiculously flavored Snapple near you.
I was going to say, I don't recognise you actually, Dave, because you've got a mask on. You look completely different. Look, yours is black and mine's multicoloured. That's just so to type, isn't
it? I'm trying to wear Brave Ground.
Oh. Gosh. Well, I clearly am not wearing Brave Ground. Oh, man. And welcome to the Great Indoors in person.
Woohoo! The podcast which reveals everything you ever needed to know about interiors and explains how to make it all really work for you in your home. I'm Kate Watson-Smythe.
And I'm Sophie Robinson. And for the first time in 6 months, we are recording this all in the same place.
There's gallons of sanitizer. Producer Kate is swathed in masks and we're all very distanced and clutching our own individual anti-backed microphones. But we are together again and it's wonderful.
It is. It's super wonderful. So a huge thanks to our sponsors, Neptune, for supporting the series.
And appropriately enough for this episode, as we are in the home of a famous cookery writer, we will be talking all things kitchens. Neptune offer a full kitchen design service either in store or in the current circumstances online.
Now you can start with your rough ideas, or if you're anything like me, your pie in the sky dream wish list complete with Uber Pinterest board, and then hand it over to the Neptune in-house designers to translate into a comprehensive and fully working design.
Then they come to your home to measure up accurately and create a 3D plan with full colour visuals as well, so you can feel confident your design is completely on track.
And the final quote is itemised, so you can change individual elements and keep tweaking the design until you're completely happy with both the look and the budget.
They don't fit skirts around sinks though, you know.
Oh, I bet they do. They'll give me whatever I want, I tell you.
Now, we're so excited to be together again, we may not yet have revealed exactly where we are. We are standing in the gorgeous kitchen of cookery writer Sky McAlpine, surrounded by the most beautiful sunshine yellow cabinets. Now, Sky is a Sunday Times columnist and food writer who has written for publications around the world, including Vanity Fair and Vogue.com. She also recently designed a selection of crockery in collaboration with a fabulous Anthropology. She divides her time between London and Venice, the city where she grew up, and which inspired her first cookbook. She's just published her most recent book, which is called A Table for Friends, The Art of Cooking for 2 or 20, and which Nigel Slater, no less, calls a beautiful cookbook full of joyous, life-enriching recipes. Sky, thanks for having us.
Oh, it's so exciting to be having tea together at a very distant way. Super fun.
And I'm so thrilled to be in your new house. We last met, I think, a year ago. Well, it's probably two years ago.
Nearly 2 years ago.
And you were just selling your last flat with that very famous sort of pink plaster kitchen, which we'll show pictures to everyone on our blogs later. But here we are. Complete change of colour.
Complete change of colour. Gone yellow this time, which I have to say I'm loving. You know, I love pink, but it felt like a time, your new house, time for a change. And there's something about this yellow that is just like the sunniest, happiest colour, even on really gloomy days. It's just a really, really nice space to kind of be in, and it feels really cosy and warm.
Are you completely on board with it? I love yellow. For me, it's a real happy colour. Kate, you're...
I'm a bit scared of yellow, I have to say. But this is like a kind of creamy yellow, isn't
it? Like a buttercup yellow,
yes,
almost.
It's quite soft. And you've done... I love that idea of painting the doors and the window frames in yellow. So it looks like the sun is shining through... All the time.
And it's quite a nice kind of... What we loved about this house when we got it is it's really light and kind of big windows. So I think it works quite well.
Just to give people a picture, you've got a window at the front and the back. So you've got that lovely double aspect, which I think works so well. And it's a beautiful open plan kitchen with a sort of island here, beautiful marble on the top, and then a lovely big sort of rough-hewn rustic table. How many chairs have you got around there? I'm just counting.
More than is legal.
More than is legal. I need to put little signs on every other one being kind of like, sit here. But the table seats about 10 comfortably. And when we were designing the kitchen, one thing that we really wanted was to kind of have flexible space, because as you know, I love having friends over, and this all seemed much
more... And that's sort of the theme of your new book, isn't it? Which I absolutely love, by the way. I'm a bit of a, what's the word?
Person who doesn't like cooking?
Not very enthusiastic. But I love eating and I love socialising. I just love other people doing the cooking. But actually, I will say, reading the intro to your book and your whole philosophy about the whole reason why you love cooking is because you love having... bringing people together, actually really... say it really inspired me. Okay, it's a really lovely philosophy, and I was interested to see how that is translated in your home. And that big table kind of tells me that's
everything.
How it works.
It is all about the table. Like, I think it's the most important piece of furniture in the house in a way, because it's like where we live, it's where we eat, it's where, you know, I often end up working, where my son sometimes does his homework. But it is sort of more than even just where you eat, it's like kind of where you linger on after meals, which is kind of like where you have the best conversations and best times.
Do you think that's why it's important
memories.
That your kitchen table, your dining table rather, is in the kitchen? Do you think that's...
I really love that, this sort of open plan way of living. So where you kind of live in the kitchen and eat in the kitchen. And I hate this idea of, you know, when you have friends over, you kind of being in the kitchen doing all the work and them kind of being in another room having a fabulous time. And for me, like, I know we're really lucky we got to kind of, when we bought this house, we had that in mind. And that was sort of the spirit of that was sort of at the center of the design for this kitchen dining room area. I know that if you don't live with that kind of setup, part of kind of when I was writing the book was I wanted to kind of create a manual that allowed people, even if you do have, say, a tiny galley kitchen and then your dining room is like the other end of the house, there are still ways of cooking and setting the meal up so that actually once people walk through that door and they're there, you can be with them 100% of the time and enjoy their company all the way. So you can really kind of structure the meal so that you're...
Not stuck in the kitchen.
Because who wants to be... Well, I do, maybe some people do, but I don't want to be stuck in the kitchen. I want to be having fun and enjoying people's company. And the food for me is just like an excuse to enjoy people's company. Of course, it's important. Of course, you want to eat well. But really, you just want to be together. So the whole house was a huge project.
Do you manage to find a wreck and you've had to do everything?
Well, it was sort of a wreck. It was basically, it's a row of Victorian houses. And in the early 1990s, a developer bought them and gutted them all and redeveloped them all and just kind of redeveloped in quite a bland, soulless, standard, neutral.
Yeah, 90s got a lot to answer for that.
I mean, the kitchen...
It was a bit beige.
So basically, the kitchen, we swapped it around. So it was two different rooms. And where we... Sort of the dining area is now was the kitchen, and where we cook now was the sort of dining room.
What was your reason for flipping them round the other way?
I think it's nice to eat by the light. Mm-hmm. And also we sort of have the patio. So I liked the idea of the kitchen or the cooking area being between the two parts.
Yeah, so you've got, so you could kind you've of got enjoy garden table and chairs on one side of the kitchen.
And dining on the other.
There's still, I think, something psychologically weird when you live in a terraced house of having your kitchen at the front in the bay window. Somehow it doesn't
having
feel
it in the
quite
street
right.
view, you mean?
Yes.
Yeah.
So then you have your sitting room
on
the first
floor.
There's something so glamorous about that. I don't know whether it's unusual.
It feels
I love
very
that idea.
It's yeah. very, very grown
very
up.
Grown up. Yeah.
And then on the second floor, we have our bedroom. And then on the top floor are our boys. They have their two little bedrooms. The nice thing about it being this hideous, redeveloped, of no kind of architectural merit or interest kind of house is that we were able to just completely knock everything out and it was a blank canvas. And so we worked with, it was a big project because just after we found the house and became pregnant. And so then kind of what had been a bit of a kind of spontaneous move where it was like, oh, we found our dream house, this is going to work, suddenly became like, oh, I really hope it does work because if it doesn't, we actually do need to move. We can't all fit in where we are now.
So you bought this, as you say, there was no character, there was nothing in it. You were newly pregnant. Were you fizzing with ideas as to what you wanted to do? Or were you then suddenly a bit daunted because there was presumably nothing to bounce off? If there was no sort of, oh, I love that nice bit of cornicing, or this is going to make a nice sitting room.
I mean, I had lots of ideas. I didn't know, there was something about the energy of the house, which I don't think anyone, I mean, had been on the market for 2 years. No one really wanted it. But I just, there was something about the energy of the house that I was like, this is our perfect house. This is our dream house. I just knew. And I had lots of ideas. What I didn't have was an ability to kind of actually turn them into what it is now practically and quickly in kind of essentially a sort of 6 month period. So we worked with a really good friend of ours who I love and is completely brilliant architect, Ben Pentreath. And he was just amazing because he kind of took us in hand. And poor man, like, we'd emailed him kind of like when we'd seen the house and we're thinking about putting in an offer. And he was sort of like, sure, I'll do that. And then 2 weeks later, I had to email him and be like, okay, so you know you said you'd do the house with us. Well, actually, I'm also pregnant. So like, we have to do it like really, really quickly. and he was very, they were amazing.
Who's that?
Just
went
past. Would just say hi.
Hello, someone just went coming up.
Oh, look at the sleepy face. Oh, microphone.
Yes,
don't break that.
He is smiling. Are you going to go play?
Bye.
See you guys later. Say bye.
Oh, that was a treat, wasn't it?
Wasn't it?
So we were working with Ben.
So like, what's amazing is I think what I love about him is that he really sees, and this is like in his own houses as well, he sees the value in like a gorgeous old chest of drawers from eBay that costs 40 quid,
yeah,
as much as in some kind of beautiful custom built fabulous design, whatever.
So it's sort of the high end and the low end
and just kind of loving old things and seeing kind of not making it like too blingy or precious, just kind of really practical but beautiful and quite shared. You know, he loves colour. I love colour. You know, he loves things to be colourful. He's happy to be playful. And then what I loved, he's really fun to work with because he's also really happy for it to be your house.
Not a precious interior designer who feels like it's actually
part of their portfolio.
Was there anything he really pushed back on and said, no, Skye, honestly, that'll look like a disaster?
There were a couple of practical things that he, like, so things that, like, we didn't follow his advice was, like, for example, on the light switches, he was like, you should just have white plastic because it's a way of saving money. No one really cares. No one's ever kind of been like, this is a fabulous light switch. Really, just go for the plastic ones.
Really, and actually, the touch point.
I was kind of relaxed, and my husband was like, no, it's our dream. We're doing it. We're not going to kind of redo it. Like, we're doing it. Let's just get the nice light switches. And then actually, we've both since then been like, you know what? We should have just gone for the white
Really?
Oh, that's interesting.
Because I don't know, it's just like...
But I'm looking at your beautiful brass dimmer switches there underneath a picture of sort of faded roses, and I'm thinking, that's just a really nice little shot.
Yeah, I sometimes feel they need to blend away light switches, so I don't like them to be really shouty for the sake of it.
Yeah.
And actually, one thing I've done to save my budget is, you know, the power switches that come lower.
Plug sockets.
I've done them in plastic because usually there's a piece of furniture or something
hiding it.
But then the bits that are higher up in your eye level. See, this is the thing. You've got a whole 5-story house to completely refurbish from scratch and you end up losing sleep over lighting switches.
Yeah. I know, love it. So mad.
That's the thing. We could have saved money on the light switches.
I'm now going to have to go back through Ben Pentry's portfolio and see if I can look at all the light switches.
I bet he's had them photos.
We'll have to get him on. But he's just like really lovely and pragmatic like that. That I kind of loved. He's not snobbish. He's not kind of like, well, we have to, you know, Ben Pentreath will only do like...
You can be very frightened by having an interior designer, can't you? And I think feel that they're doing it for them, as you say, for their portfolio, or they say you've got to have these light switches because otherwise the whole scheme will be ruined. Advice for other people, you know, don't be afraid to say, I don't care if you think that's bad taste, I want it.
And it's tricky because you do want their advice. Like, you are working with them because you admire their taste. So it's hard to know kind of when and where. But I think definitely if you can have a good relationship with them and if you really have that feeling that they want you to be happy.
It's your house.
It's your house. And it was kind of best of both worlds because I thought he wasn't going to let us make any really big mistakes, but also he was happy for it to be our house.
Yeah. So, Skye, I'm interested as a professional cook. You know, many of us are kind of bumbling around with our kitchen design and, you know, it looks pretty and then we discover afterwards that we've gone wrong because we don't really know how to do it. What have you sort of incorporated into this kitchen? What does everybody need to have in their kitchen?
So what we did with this one that I quite like that we sort of took from our kitchen in Venice is we kept as much as we could freestanding. Because I kind of like the flexibility of space. One thing I really, really wanted that was a bit non-negotiable is the massive La Conche cooker.
Yeah.
So it's got like 2 big ovens and 2 mini ovens and a million hobs. And
how many hobs? Can we just have a count on the
so
hobs?
So this is the hot plate thing. Yes. Then 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9.
Wow.
And it is the dream.
Hashtag goals.
Basically just live in the cooker in one of the small ovens and I would be happy forever.
Right, it is beautiful.
I really, really love it. I mean, they're investment pieces, but I just knew...
That oven is bigger than my sofa.
And Skye's a professional cook. You're a professional sitter. You need a big sofa.
I need a professional microwave.
I didn't care about the sofa. All I cared about was...
But your rather fabulous island, which looks like very vintage legs with a beautiful marble top. It's on wheels, isn't it?
It's on wheels. So we found an old like work table online and then they added on wheels and a shelf underneath and then like the marble top to match the rest of the kitchen.
Oh, it's been totally upcycled.
So it's been sort of upcycled to fit with the space. And then the idea is we can wheel the island out onto the patio and then extend this space.
So if you want to do some cooking outside, you can literally wheel your chopping island out.
You have room to do a table for 30. Like, it's so great to cook on an island, but there is something about limiting the space where you're like, I'm going to fix this to the floor in the middle of the room. It's always somehow annoying. The other thing that is the dream that was Ben's idea and I didn't even know was possible is we have 2 dishwashers.
Oh, yeah, that's quite a thing for people who entertain, isn't it? I understand. So you can get everything at the end of the night.
You can get everything in. It's amazing.
But also just using one as storage, I think I would just, that would be my
storage.
Well, because I would just constantly take clean stuff out of it and never put it away in the cupboard again.
And just kind of have it.
Which
basically rotation. What we do, you put one in the dirty
one
and
in, one out.
But also, like, it's a relatively, in terms of like the cost of a kitchen, it's a relatively inexpensive thing to do, but it is quite transformational. And then we've got that other little table there is also on wheels, which is just like a sort of extra table to cover the bins. We sort of had the bins there and it felt a bit sad, so we put that in. And then most of the storage is in that big cabinet.
Yeah, that is a piece, isn't it? Where do you find something like that?
It's a huge vintage dresser with sort of glass doors.
So my husband and I, like, basically, we went sort of, I think it was January last year, We went to Brussels and just kind of bought.
Oh, that's the secret tip, isn't it? Laura Jackson, yes. We did a house tour with her.
So good, and her kitchen
wasn't built when we went round, but she'd also was going to Brussels to buy kitchen cabinets.
I thought you were going to say
they were Murano glass from Venice.
Oh, but you bought them in Brussels. They're just like a fraction of the price in Brussels for what they would be in Venice. So we bought the massive cabinet and then we had it repainted and then we lined it with Antoinette Poisson wallpaper. But it's really nice because again, it's a free, so it just gives that flexibility of space. It is a lot less expensive than having built in. But it also means if one day, for whatever reason, you want to change the spirit or the intention of that room, you could sell it and do that.
Podcast listener, and this is a podcast ad. Reach great listeners like yourself with podcast advertising from Lips and Ads. Choose from hundreds of top podcasts offering host endorsements, or run a reproduced ad like this one across thousands of shows to reach your target audience with Lips and Ads. Go to lipsandads.com now. That's LIBSYN ads.com.
So we're just going up this beautiful wallpaper.
Yeah, this is amazing. We love this. See, this is hand-painted by this guy called Alistair Peebles.
You are joking. This has all been hand-painted?
Yeah.
I feel like I shouldn't touch it. So he doesn't actually have to come to your house to paint a mural. He paints it on paper.
He paints it on wallpaper and then they hang it.
Oh my gosh, this guy goes all
and
the way
up. And he came
up
with
incredible.
This incredible design.
So the wallpaper is a sort of beautiful vines, I suppose, curling up the walls with sort of olivey green leaves and pink and cream flowers, and then beautiful blue and pink birds swooping in and out. It's quite a big pattern.
Lots of movement. It really dances up the walls,
it's gorgeous,
doesn't it?
Yeah.
Fabulous patterned chintzy sofa. Big tick from me. Lovely.
I'm never leaving this room.
So, Sky, you better fill us in on why you've got an enormous Christmas tree in your living room at the beginning of September.
Because I've been doing Christmas shoots for the Long Leads.
For some magazines. Brilliant.
So I had to create Christmas, basically. And I love Christmas, so I'm sort of hanging on to it for longer than I probably should. Probably.
Well, not until December.
No, but you know, this is another lockdown thing. People are saying this year's been so rubbish. Let's just start with Christmas now. Let's get the lights up, get the tree out, and get into that nice mood. And normally, I am really anti Christmas until about the 21st of December.
Yes, you're right.
And this year, I'm a bit like, no, bring it on, actually.
Oh, no, I'm still in my summer dress. You can hold your Christmas for a bit longer, thanks. I'm clinging on to the summer.
Another week or two.
Yeah.
But again, you've done, this is very Sophie, red sort of ticking stripe curtains.
They're beautiful.
And I love that downstairs there are striped curtains that are wider stripe.
Yeah.
And up here, then the stripe's gone narrower.
A bit of a red thread, hey, Kate?
There you go. Yeah. There you go. But with the sort of flowery sofa. I do love a flower and a stripe.
You don't know where that fabric's from, do you? That is such
This is Jean Monroe.
Oh, it's so good.
I'm obsessed with it.
And is that a Fornacetti drinks
this
cabinet?
This is my most exciting find ever. It is not a drinks cabinet. It is a 50s fridge. Yes.
It's working.
We had it restored. Isn't it amazing? So basically, we were looking for cabinets for downstairs, and one of the designers on Ben's team like sent us a couple of cabinets from a Christie's sale that they were like could work, and that actually we didn't end up getting because they went for like way more than we were actually willing to pay. But at the back of the catalogue was this fridge, and I think it was just in the wrong sale. And I was like, oh my God,
spotted.
And it went like for the reserve, like we got it, but sort of for the reserve. So the idea is you can have like Prosecco in the fridge. It's quite noisy, you can sort of hear it, but have your Prosecco in the fridge and then you have your bits on top and you can kind of mix drinks.
That's the ultimate drinks trolley. It actually comes with its own fridge.
If I ever have to change career and become a burglar,
it's really heavy though.
I'll bring a trolley.
Can I drag you into this room in the back
now? She wants to go in there
because it's a very deep, beautiful red.
I've
got this microphone and this lead and I can't go wandering off on my own. I've got to drag you with me. Now tell me about this room, Sky.
Oh,
this is amazing.
Look.
So this is, I'm going to say our study, because it is technically my study, but during lockdown it got repossessed by my husband. He had to do like kind of conference calls and stuff like that. So I reverted to working from my bed, which in all fairness,
It's quite nice.
It's quite nice. So I kind of like to whinge about it, but I'm also quite happy about it.
So this is your office.
This is
your
my office library
in gloss red, in gloss red paintwork. I mean, what was the inspiration for this colour? It's extraordinary.
So the two things that stayed from the house in its original incarnation were the staircase and these bookshelves. And Ben was kind of like, and I agreed with him and I was happy he said that. He was like, let's just keep the shelves and paint them.
Yeah, because they're fine.
He was like, they're fine. Once we've painted them, no one will worry. And they are so expensive
to do. Carpentry
is really, really expensive. And so his idea was like, let's go with really fun colour. So this is Rectory Red
in brilliant gloss
from Farrow and Ball.
I love a gloss wall.
Yeah,
love
obviously the bookcases are in gloss, but then you've continued that around the cupboards, around the walls.
Yeah. So it's like, but it makes it so cosy in here.
It's a beautiful room.
And then pulled that same sofa chintz fabric through into the curtains.
Really nice. And this is a mood board for the books.
You've got a really strong aesthetic because it is quite nostalgic and... You know, there's lots of vintage old china and silverware in the photography you use, and the images that you've put on here are, you know, there's elements of traditional, and yet I think because of your love of colour, it feels quite fresh as well. Where do you get your inspiration from for your sort of design aesthetic?
Ooh,
where do you look?
Where do you think it all comes from?
Growing up in Italy.
I think I love old stuff and I love colour. You know, I love things that feel unique and have a story. I think if you can buy something that really comes with its own story, yeah. I mean, how magic is that? And I think, like, I'm really keen on this idea of, like, if it's something that you love, it will work together and not worrying too much.
If you get that heartfelt feeling.
If you get that heartfelt feeling, somehow it just always works.
I think it's true. Don't they say that when you're wearing an outfit, if you feel confident in it, you will look good and everybody will think you look good. Whereas if you feel a bit nervous and you're...
Well, it doesn't really matter because you think you do.
But I think if you're tugging at it because you feel uncomfortable, that shows in your attitude and people are more likely to think, oh, what is she wearing? And I think it's probably the same with interiors. If you are sticking things together, which perhaps... in theory shouldn't go, but you do it with enough confidence and also enough of it. I mean, it is that kind of more is more, isn't it? So
I love more is more generally for life and you food and everything.
But you could have, you know, people might have said, oh, we'll have red shelves, but I'm worried that's a bit much, so we'll do the rest of the wall in white or something, at which point it doesn't work because you haven't gone far enough. You have to go with it, you know,
I think
fully.
Definitely going with things fully, not stressing about it too much because you can always change
it. Yes, it is paint.
I think not worrying about it too much. It's the same with food. It's like I think we give ourselves such a hard time, this feeling that there's a right and a wrong way of doing things, and there's just not. There's your way
that
works for you. It's
really interesting reading your book and you talking about this very relaxed way of preparing and serving up food. And it's not to say that there's not a lot of thought and expertise that goes into cooking, but it's the whole attitude you bring with it. And you talk about the Italian being very, I think you said, sort of casual and chic and sort of that Dolce Vita kind of like way of living. And I was reading this and thinking it's so in stark contrast to the way my mum entertained. That very different generation when the best china came out.
Yeah.
She did hors d'oeuvres and then there was a starter. And honestly, you wouldn't see my mum for days if she was having a dinner party because it took her all week to plan this thing and she's polishing the silver. And I think as a child growing up with that, maybe this is why I don't like it.
Like, oh, you feel it's performance.
And I think, again, it just feeds back into like how you feel about it. Like if that brings you a lot of joy, you know, sometimes I'll do tables that are totally over the top, you know, I'll get like piles of fruit and candles and like flowers, and if that's on a day that's actually I've got the time, then that's a wonderful thing to do. But other days it's just as beautiful if you just put a big bowl of lemons. You're doing it with love, and I've never been to someone's house and kind of been like, oh, don't think their table was up to scratch, or like I don't think the food was up to scratch. I mean, it just never happens. You're just so thrilled that someone's invited you into their home and that they've cooked for you, or even if they haven't cooked, that they've ordered a takeout and put it on a nice plate for you.
Like, always does, like she goes to the supermarket and buys like sausage all package party food
and just puts it on plates.
And my mum is always so like, oh dear, you knew your auntie because she she's so much fun. I love going to her house, and yes, it's all sausage rolls and
party
crisps.
Who doesn't want to eat a sausage
roll?
Exactly.
That's
my favourite food.
The dream.
Yeah.
But it's also, there is that Italian thing which you must have naturally as well, where, you know, you can look at Italians having lunch and it might just be a plate of tomatoes with some olive oil and some really good salami and some bread. And somehow when you see it in Italy, that looks amazing and wonderful. And when but you I see it in London, it somehow slightly less exciting.
Genuinely think it's a state of mind. I think it's like you're saying about how you present it. I think if you put it on the table and it's a big plate of tomatoes. I mean, I know the tomatoes taste better in Italy. I get that. But honestly, even our tomatoes with olive oil and basil, a big plate, salt, it's great.
I learned a tip not to put them in the fridge.
Yes.
Yes.
I've never put them in the fridge. Never put them in the fridge.
And I now have them in a bowl. And loads
they taste a lot better. Yeah, they taste a lot better. They do taste a lot better.
See, I'm learning.
But it's like, it's just, if you do like a big, and more is more, so if like there's a difference between like
supersizing it.
Yeah, a big bowl of tomato and just kind of getting your like 1.5 tomatoes, that's your allocated portion. That's the only time my heart sinks is like if you go to someone, and this almost never happens, but if you go to someone's house and they're like, here's your kind of like portion one potato and here's your type. And it's just like, that is a little bit like, okay. It's nice, like you want to have seconds and you want to really kind of
The abundance.
Yeah, I also think if you have enough of any single thing, it will look amazing. It literally does not matter what that thing it is. Yeah, I mean, literally, like red onions, you're going to think I'm mad. People are going to think I'm totally mad. But red onions, like a bowl of piled really high of red onions, because it's just the most beautiful thing. They're this lovely colour. Purple. They cost nothing. You will always use them up in your cooking. You can even like, when they're about to go off, like chop them up and freeze them. But they look so beautiful. Like, so even if you don't know what else to have them, put like loads of bowls of red onions around your house or
what,
something.
What, for people to eat? Or just to know?
Well, just say just look as decoration. It's so much cheaper than flowers.
But you can eat them.
And this is what I mean. People will think I'm mad, but it's like
Are you slicing them? Or
no,
they're
just like.
Oh, okay. I was imagining sliced onion in bowls.
But it's like there's a trend, isn't there, in floristry at the moment where you have all the same flowers. So you would have a vase just of hydrangeas rather than that kind of mixing them all up. Yeah.
That's what I do because I'm terrible at arranging flowers. Like, I can't do it. But I think if you just buy loads of tulips or loads of daffodils or loads of.
Just all the same in abundance.
It's good. You don't have to do anything to it. It looks really good.
Yes. Or put things in small bowls, I'm now thinking. I'll just get all my
big
food.
Bowls.
Abundance of lots of one thing.
Oh, okay. I was just thinking it might look more if I pile it high. Okay, let's move on. Have we got another room stand? I'm really failing at this part of the conversation.
Sliding past the furniture.
So this is our bedroom.
Sophie the wallpaper.
Oh, dear.
So this is fabric, very excitingly.
Oh, yes.
Oh, my goodness.
And it's... brilliant. I always get this wrong. GP&J.
Oh, them. Sophie loves them. I can never say it either.
And I'm always, like, saying JP&G or whatever. I was doing it wrong.
Brilliant. I mean, that is really traditional sort of country house way to decorate, isn't it? Having fabric lined.
It's so cosy.
I haven't seen that done so much more recently.
But you know what's so clever is there's a sort of grosgrain ribbon round the doors and round the top of the walls to finish off, I suppose, where the fabric ends. You just put ribbon. I love that.
That's really nice, isn't it? It's literally your own padded cell, isn't it?
Yeah.
It really is. I'm not sure she was going quite for that effect, Sophie.
But padded cell, that's what I want.
And was the fabric wall, was that a Ben idea or was that something?
So he found the fabric and he was like, let's do this. Yeah. And I loved it.
I reckon there's quite a skill into how you do that.
So then they found
someone who put it up and like it was amazing to see how. And they all can see buttons, like they've joined it all with buttons and they've kind of joined it together.
Yes, they've pattern matched it, haven't they? And then you've got to stretch it, I think.
It was a huge operation and I have to say they did it amazingly.
Yes, because you've got, it's not a bay window, is it? But there's a,
And that was the other thing that we did slightly out of sync as we ended up changing the windows. So the house had these like really ugly plastic windows and we changed them to just kind of traditional sash windows. Yeah. But we did that. Basically, we thought we weren't going to do it because it's obviously expensive and
you
we need to get permission.
You saved all that money on light switches. Oh, no, you didn't in the end.
We didn't. I know if we had, it would have been fine. And then basically we kind of did the house and it just like they looked even worse than before.
You've got to get the windows right.
You've got to get the windows. And I'm so happy we did. Mm. I mean, huge investment of energy,
etc. Someone said to me the other day, the eyes to your house or something poetic like that.
I think you have to do the structural bits, the bones first, because as you say, retrofitting it is a nightmare. If you've decorated it all, it will get damaged if you then replace the windows. You've got to do, heavenly.
Yeah.
And then so then we go through, I can see an amazing fireplace.
So then we go through to...
Little shower room.
Beautiful. Tiny shower room and loo.
Oh, Sky, come on. This is gorgeous. A
bathroom.
Oh, look at this. Bathroom come dressing room.
Yeah.
With this... So the real centrepiece here is this amazing... Again, your signature pink and yellow. I'm seeing that's quite a colour combo. Sort of footstool, if you like, in the middle, or banquette or something that you can sit on and...
Chat whilst you're in the bath. Yeah, chat,
get dressed, put your shoes on. It's such a good usable space. I mean, I can imagine this is a lovely room to hang out.
Yeah, it's such a nice room.
And it's really high, so it's really private for a bath as well, isn't it?
Yeah, it really is. Exactly, no one can see in.
Yeah. So this is at the front of the house where you've got a freestanding copper bath and you're sort of, again... candy stripe banquette and a wall of wardrobe. So it's a dressing room come bathroom. There's a basin as well.
Yeah. Yeah.
And those dresses, are they worn or are they decorative? Oh, there's some lovely vintage.
Worn, sorry, but one's got a stain on it and it's to remind me to take it to the dry cleaners, and the other I need to get altered, and the other one I need to iron.
So they're very kind of glamorous. Like,
they're my reminders, but they just hang out there and I don't do anything about it. But in theory, that's
so vintage fashion as well. So your love of vintage interiors.
I love vintage everything, basically.
Crosses over into what you wear.
Yeah, so
as
the pink one is 1970s. I just need to get it altered. It's a little bit sort of big on me.
Dress like you decorate like you dress. It works.
Yeah. Yeah. And another fabulous bit of pendant lighting. I just have to flag that.
That was from Brussels as well. So now we've bought all these Murano chandeliers.
We're all going to Brussels, aren't we?
Yeah. And the colour really is amazing. They're such statement pieces.
I love them. I mean, obviously, because I kind of grew up with that whole architectural language. I love them and they're so, precious. It's incredible how they make them, and so much. We just had loads of them in Brussels.
Really?
Yeah, it's incredible. Yeah. The lady in the shop was saying that basically they go to all these house, kind of sales when someone
house clearance.
But not in Venice. In Venice, they know the value of them, but in the sort of mainland around northern
Italy,
in the Veneto, and further away, I think as well. And so they sort of sell them off, not really knowing what they have.
Get in quick, people, because soon they will know.
Now that we have an international.
We might edit that bit out, actually. We'll just keep that for us. Brilliant. Well, thank you so much for showing us around. I'm full of inspiration now. I am going to go home and call the decorators.
I'm booking a train to Brussels.
So we're back in the kitchen. Thank you so much, Sky, for such a fabulous tour of your house.
And do look out for Sky's book, A Table for Friends, which is as beautiful as it is inspiring. Might even get me cooking, you never know. And of course, you can follow Sky on Instagram for more gorgeousness. She's at Sky McAlpine.
And in the background, we can hear one-year-old Achille having his lunch, if you're wondering what that noise is.
Carrot sticks and hummus?
Yeah.
Oh, good old favourite.
Classic.
But do come and follow us as well, if for some very strange reason you aren't already. I'm Mad About the House, and she's Sophie Robinson Interiors.
And never forgetting the Great Indoors Facebook group, which is a fizzing pot of design inspiration. There will be more details on the things we've talked about today, plus, of course, some great pictures of Sky's lovely house on both our blogs, sophierobinson.co.uk and madaboutthehouse.com.
This is somehow already the last in the current series, but never fear, we will be back soon. And in the meantime, if you could leave us a review on your podcast app, we would really appreciate it.
We really can't thank you enough for sticking with us for two whole series of recording in our cramped little duvet dens. And well, we may be back in them pretty soon, given how things are going. But anyway, we will keep going nonetheless.
And it's been really fantastic to be here today. Thanks so much for having us, Sky.
Thank you for coming. It's been so fun. It's like my dream way of spending the day.
Yes, mine too.
Yeah.
And thanks. thanks also to our wonderful sponsors, Neptune, and our wonderful producer, Kate Taylor of Feast Collective.
And we'll see you in the great indoors.
Are those mince pies going, by the way?
Yeah,
they smell
absolutely.
Amazing.
They sound good.
Is it too early? It's not too early for mince pie.
Are you just helping yourself?
Please help yourself. Would you like one?